there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And Jeff, we're going to keep talking about Thanksgiving, right?
That's right.
We're on week three of Thanksgiving.
Three of Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen.
Never let it be said that Horror for the Holidays were good or smart at planning out how their release schedule was going to look.
Yeah, they'll get over it.
They did a Thanksgiving movie on Thanksgiving week, and then the week after, they were still talking about Thanksgiving.
Anybody who knows us, Jay, or has heard us talk about ourselves at all would know exactly why.
Thanksgiving is a multi-day festival for some fat boys.
It's our part of our culture.
Do you have a good turkey day?
I did.
Just survived the snowpocalypse we had.
Yes, the snowpocalypse where we're going to get anywhere from 0 to 10 feet of snow, and we ended up getting about 8.5 inches.
Yep. did Thanksgiving. We were around Black Friday shopping. We didn't do Black Friday shopping, and then I was like trying to find replacement cords for blow molds,
right?
I was gonna do some decorating, and I was like looking around online, and I finally found some, and they were out at the Lowe's by Jordan Creek. So I was like, oh, shit, I don't want to drive out to Jordan Creek on Black Friday. But I did it. And as I was driving, I just watched the snow start to fall, and I was just like, I'm going to get like snowed in at fucking Jordan Creek. I didn't, but
it has begun. Yeah, no, it didn't really get bad till like Saturday morning.
Saturday I was able to kind of, We got around, got the driveway shoveled, and then stayed home all day. And then I trudged down to the gas station on the corner at like 6 o'clock at night. And when I got home, I was like, "Oh man, it's got to be like bedtime." And I looked at the clock, and it was 7. And I was like, "No, we got." I'm like, I've still got like 5 hours before I even think about going to bed. I've just been cooped up all day.
Damn. Yeah, I didn't bother shoveling till Sunday.
I went out, shoveled early, and then I shoveled again later. I bought an electric shovel.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, it's all right. Should I probably get a snowblower? Probably. But I like the electric shovel. It's pretty good. And makes it, makes certain, like I said, you have to get out a couple times to actually use it, but really does help with the snow and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And if you want to be a dick, you can like fling snow into your neighbor's driveway.
That's fun. I like that.
Or out into the street.
That's also fun. Deal with it, city.
Cars coming by. I guess we should start. I guess we should deck the halls.
Do we have to, Jay? Do we have to?
Deck the halls for ATM.
2012.
Automated teller machine.
Bad year.
Chopping mall. Wait. Chopping mall. But this is a killer ATM. It's not. But can you imagine if it was a killer ATM?
If it had been a killer ATM, Jay, this probably would have been a great movie.
Limited release, April 6th, 2012. Limited.
Boo.
Terrible release date.
Yes, not. How could you even do this movie and not set it close? Release it close to Christmas?
I don't know why you would go, why you would like look at the release schedule and be like, yeah, we're just going to put this out
spring,
in April.
Spring, yeah. And it wasn't even like dumped, because they dump movies in January and February they don't think are going to do good. No, they put this in a good release spot.
Yeah. directed by David Brooks, who also served as the editor.
Oh, boy.
We've got writers Chris Sparling and Ron Tippy, and Ron Tippy's career is kind of a bonkers read. Produced Space Jam, production department on Shrek, wrote this. Like, what a strange career.
Well, I don't know. You know how the guy, the killer, is credited as the man in quotation marks? Yep. I think these writers should be credited as the writers in quotation marks.
We've got Brian Garrity as David Hargrove, Alice Eve as Emily Brandt, Josh from Drake and Josh as Corey Thompson.
Best character.
Yep.
Only interesting character in the entire thing.
Mike O'Brien, who plays the man, I'll probably refer to him as the man in the parka,
yeah.
Is also in the 2012 Silent Night, and so is Cindy Miskew, who is passerby in this movie. She is also in the 2012 Silent Night. $3 million budget. What about a $1 million box office?
God, that makes me sick.
Apparently, they made the like they made the ATM building. Like this was a set they built. I want to say I read shot in like 22 days or something like that. But like looked pretty good. Like I thought like the building looked like the kind of like campus town, like in Ames campus town, there's one of these buildings where it's like, it's an ATM, but it's enclosed
the
and US inside.
Bank ATM. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Well, Jay, unfortunately they shot it in Manitoba. So automatically a mark against it. But it was, you want to hear what it was pitched as? It was pitched. Peter Safran, the producer, pitched it as a high concept, single location suspense thriller. I was like, high concept, what, a guy tries to kill you when you're in the ATM booth?
yeah, high concept.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not kill you.
Well, menace you and frame you for murder, I guess.
That, I think, it, like, that was, there, I had, listeners, you can already kind of tell how we feel about this. The like framing the like getting it, making it so like he doesn't appear on camera, and so like it looks like the all the people just did like our main characters did all the killing. I thought that was one of the like more interesting choices they made. I don't know if I were redoing this movie, if I would have done that choice or if I would have gone with that, but I think that was one of the few interesting choices.
Yeah, I mean,
that we have.
It was at least trying to do something, which is more than you could say for a lot of this. But no, the fucking audacity, Jay, the sheer audacity of having the post credit scenes.
Like, for
you did nothing to earn this at all. And it's literally just a guy shuffling paperwork menacingly
at the back of like a storage unit.
Yes,
like,
with a propane heater on. So he's still a little warm in there. But oh my God, he has plans of other buildings, Jay.
Oh, sorry, shot in 20 days, not 20. So 2 days less than I said.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how this took them more than a couple days to shoot, but whatever.
Tagline, no warning, no control, no escape. No interest.
I mean, there's several points where they could have easily escaped, but that's okay.
Where to watch? Tubi. It's free. You could buy a DVD copy. I have a DVD copy that came from Mr. Movies. I don't know where that was.
I watched it for free on Tubi, and I felt like I got scammed.
No, my copy still has the sticker on it for the Mr. Movie, I guess, rental place back in about 2012. Personal experience, I had actually seen this before. I watched this when it got dropped on Netflix. At the time, I remember being like, oh, that was kind of fun.
But we've grown since.
apparently in 13 years roughly, my opinion has changed drastically about this movie.
The only thing I knew that Jay was excited to watch this for the podcast. That was the only experience I had with it, really. And I when I was live tweeting my experience to Jay, as I usually do when I'm watching these movies, I was like, well, I can see why I've never heard of this.
I mean, Josh, Jeff, I also know why you're excited. Big Drake and Josh fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gotta love that. And I mean, to his credit, Josh does act in this movie.
No, he does great.
As I say, he was the most interesting part of it.
I think all three of the main actors are all really good. It's just everything else in the movie.
It's the only there. We'll talk about it, but there's a point where the main there are two leads. There's a point where things get a little bit. I was like, yeah, is this like high school drama class? What is this?
And you might is it the moment where they like both lean in to almost kiss, and then that, something starts happening?
There was that one, and then there was the part after she will say bonks her head, and when he's like, oh no, oh no. I was like, you couldn't take that again.
All right, synopsis. If you're done.
I'm done. Let's get into it.
We get a slow, eerie kind of version of, like an instrumental version of Silent Night playing as we see a man looking at like satellite images and blueprints of parking lots, and he's drawing like the lines of sight for the cameras and stuff.
This level of planning is hilarious based on what he does later on.
We never see his face, and he puts on a parka and leaves what appears to be like a storage unit.
I have to be warm.
It is later on, it is confirmed to be a storage unit. At the time, I was like, is he in like a giant shipping container?
Yeah, funny.
Because that's kind of what it looked like initially.
It's on a ship at sea planning this out.
We get our opening credits and title card. Like the music kind of fades out of that eerie kind of version of Silent Night and kind of starts fading in with this music. I thought that sound mixing was really good as the man's kind of like leaving the building. And then we get this like, and it fades into like this kind of cheery, upbeat Christmas song. And we get like stock footage of the city at Christmas time. And we see like footage of our main character David walking through the streets and going to work, and then occasionally it gets intercut with like images of like this police crime scene kind of throughout, which we will learn is initially I thought, oh, is this like, I think I had forgotten some parts of this movie, so there was a part of me who was like, oh, is there like a whole thing about like the police are trying to catch this guy, like they're onto this guy, and like, and so, like, they're he had struck the night before, and he's striking again, or something like that. No, this is like those kills. Like, yep. I was like, I think there would have been. I'm like, could have been like more interesting if like they're trying to catch this guy who keeps like evading capture at ATMs and shit.
Yes, it would. You know, it's like, it's great and all that they show all these drawings that you have no context for, like all these blueprints and plans. But it's like, yeah, without having seen him execute this and get away with it before, it's like, who cares?
David is on the phone with a client who is struggling with money during the holiday season.
Lost half my 401k.
Corey comes over and tells David it's Emily's last day and he should ask her out. And apparently the last time he tried to ask her out, he tried to ask her to a gathering.
What is she, a fucking wizard?
She keep a wand next to her purse.
I don't read.
David says no and is going to go home, but Corey kind of badgers him into going to the Christmas party and to get one drink.
Well, and the reason he badgers him is because you're still going to give me a ride home, right? all know this guy.
We cut to the Christmas party, and Corey is sloshed and belligerent and has had more than the one drink that he said he was going to have.
Jay, ever since you've grown facial hair, you've turned into a person I don't like.
And David goes to talk to Emily for a bit, and they have kind of an awkward conversation that continues outside.
Oh, boy.
That involves David stealing someone's hat to give it to Emily, but finally kind of gets up the courage to ask her out and then offers to give her a ride home since she can't hail a taxi. But then it turns out that he also has to give Corey a ride home as well.
This was so painful, especially the part where he's like, see you around, instead of asking her out. It's like, she's clearly lingering there waiting for you to ask her yep. out and giving you every opportunity to, and just ignores it. And I also find it hilarious that not one person will volunteer to give Corey cab fare.
Corey also steals a bottle of liquor as he's leaving the party, and in the car he is still drinking from it. Apparently they don't have to worry about open container laws wherever this is supposed to be taking place.
I guess not.
He also apparently lost his phone at the party. Convenient.
Yes, very convenient.
And in the process of calling to find it, he drains David's phone of its battery.
Your phone's dead.
Corey bullies David into stopping for pizza, but first they have to stop at an ATM to get money.
The pizza place only takes cash, and it's like, okay, we don't need this level of contrivance to go to an ATM. You could just be like, hey, I have to stop at the ATM.
Yep. No, yeah, literally that's all you have to
say.
We don't
need a long explanation. This is something that people do all the time.
No, instead I have to like get really upset about you wanting to stop at this ATM.
And we were downtown in an upscale area in a, like a business district. There's no ATMs he could have just walked to and got money. They go to this sketchy one in the middle of nowhere.
It looked like an industrial district.
It's like an industrial park, like you would see like on the edge of town. And yes, it's inexplicably there's a random bank ATM in the middle of this in like a glass enclosure.
It would be like if it was over like in the parking lot by where the old Toys R Us used to be.
Yes. Yes,
I say that because there's also the Christmas tree, like little stall there.
It would be like, Jay, if we worked downtown still at the bank building, and then instead of getting money there at the bank, we went to the south side to the sketchiest part of town we could find to get money.
That's fair. They arrive at the ATM, and it's kind of one of those standalone ATM buildings. So it's not just an ATM in the parking lot. It's
like a pair of ATMs. You got a little glass enclosure, so it's heated.
Yep.
And yeah, there's like a privacy divider. You've seen the things.
Yep. There's one of those digital signs in the parking lot. It informs us, I think, that it's like just after 1 a.m.
Yes.
And that it's -3 degrees outside. And we kind of see also adjacent to, but not like touching, is a like Christmas tree farm. And there, once again, having seen this movie before, I'm like, do I forget a whole thing involving this Christmas tree farm? Is there a cool scene involving this? No, there's not.
You know why it's there, Jay? So you can have a hose for water.
Yep.
That's it.
Corey goes inside while David and Emily talk, and then Corey kind of waves David in for some reason.
bear in mind, Jay, it's -3 degrees according to the sign. This hose is laying on the ground and still covered and dripping in water. At -3, it would be frozen.
Also, Jeff, they parked. Why not park right next to the ATM?
Yes, they parked so far away. It's ridiculous.
It is so cold outside. Yeah, I know. I'm going to park fucking
like
three sets of I don't even know. I don't know how you measure parking spaces, but it's double pairs of parking spaces away.
Your average parking space is like 8 feet, so they're at least 100 feet away from this thing when it's that cold out. None of them are in winter gear, by the way. They're just in regular coats,
even though they live here.
Yes, so they should be prepared for this, but no. Yeah, I would be like, pull my ass up as close to that ATM as we can get, and then I'm gonna run in there real quick.
So David goes in, and after waiting in a while, Emily takes David's keys out. And she walks in, leaving her purse inside a car that won't lock
in a sketchy area. In a sketchy area,
and because no one has their phone.
And it's a sketchy area. You know how you know this is a sketchy area? Because you have to have an ATM card to even get into the building.
Yep,
that these ATMs are in.
That was what kind of alerted me too.
It's like, so clearly this place, and that would also, it creates a problem for later on in the story, because if this is a known high crime area, there would be police patrols, and there would be security systems on this ATM enclosure.
Yep. You would think.
That you wouldn't be able to cut without alerting somebody.
They go to leave after eventually getting some cash out. They go to leave just to turn around, and there's a man in a parka standing in the middle of the parking lot staring at them.
Menacingly.
They stay inside the ATM and kind of yell at him, asking what he wants.
What do you want? Maybe he just wants to use the ATM.
At one point, that's like maybe he wants to use the ATM. So they go and they open the door, and he takes a step towards them, and then they all run back inside.
Yes.
But yeah, maybe he's waiting to use the ATM. Yes, maybe just walk past
him. You know, maybe this is a sketchy area. He's just afraid that he doesn't want to use his ATM, put his pen in while you guys are in there. So he's just waiting for you?
No, instead I'm just going to be terrified. Now, do they have a rightful reason to be terrified? But they don't know time.
At that point, they have no reason to be afraid of this guy. That's the thing that gets me. It's like, okay, so they already know he's a killer?
So they stay inside the ATM building as the man in the parka sees a dude walking his dog. He walks over to him, punches him, and then proceeds to slam his head into the pavement repeatedly, and then just, like, leaves, and then the dog just walks back up and, like, lays down next to its owner that just had its skull crushed in.
Bear in mind, this guy is in a light puffer jacket, no gloves, no hat, walking his dog at 1 a.m. when it's -3 degrees.
And I've stupidly done that, but I'm not walking... There's no houses around.
I was going to say, you walk your dog through an industrial area at 1 o'clock in the morning.
No, I'll go, you know, I'll let my dog out to go to the bathroom and then come right back inside. Yeah. No, I'm not fucking, yeah, taking them out for a fucking walk. Who knows where he came from? Who knows where he's going?
Well, and it's like, how far could he have possibly gone without getting, like, frostbite on his hands at this point? Because, like, you're telling me this is close enough to a residential neighborhood he's doing this and not being discovered.
And then also, but like you said, we know that this is a high crime area. Mm-hmm. Dude starts walking up to him. He's just like, hey, buddy, how's it going?
Yeah. He walks up so menacingly, too. Like, the most menacing walk up I've seen, other than, like, a Michael Myers walk up.
We see the sign. It now says that it's 2:14 a.m. and it's -5 degrees.
Oh. Which, I mean, yes, -5 is cold. But three people in winter gear could huddle up in there and survive just fine until morning.
Yep.
That's another thing about this. She's going to freeze to death if we don't go out there. No, I really don't think so. Even after he cuts the heat, as long as you keep the door closed, you guys could survive till sunrise.
Exactly. Also, like, at a certain point, like, it's like 4 a.m. and I'm like, there's one listener, there's one person who comes in later on. Yeah. But I'm like, there would be multiple cars driving by at this point.
Oh, like, yeah, because especially graveyard shift starts at midnight. There'd be people all over this place because people would be taking their breaks, going to get money, stuff like that, going to get lunch.
The man in the parka goes to David's car, which is luckily unlocked because his lock doesn't work.
My button doesn't work.
Rips some of the wires out, pops the trunk, and then finds a tire iron, a folding chair, and a large toolbox. Luckily for the man in the parka, all of these things are in the trunk of the car that he didn't know would be here.
Yes, he didn't. He doesn't know who these people are. So he had no idea who would show up. Brought none of his own tools. Basically, the only thing he knows is, well, the camera only shows to this distance. So if, as long as I stay out of this viewing angle, people won't see me. That was his entire plan for this.
We hear him. He then takes the toolbox and he walks around and the tire iron and he walks around to the back of the ATM and we just kind of hear him banging on the back for a while. And then eventually the lights cut out and then they come back on and then the heat gets cut. Mm. And like you said, they keep the door closed. They'd probably be fine. Yes,
they all are in winter coats and stuff. They could survive until morning. Or until somebody came by.
At one point, we learn it. I believe we learn that it is the security guards. But at one point, we think that a cop pulls into the parking lot and doesn't see them, so leaves. But there are three of them. He is at the backside of the ATM. Mm-hmm. That is your chance to just run out and flag the dude down.
No, there's like 3 points in this movie where they could have just escaped easily. Like all three. I mean, and they never go at him all at once either. It's like, even if this guy is like some kind of killer or whatever, if all three of you mob him, there's a good chance at least a couple of you will get away.
There are three of you and one of, even if you all run in different directions, the security guard sees three people running and
screaming,
screaming for help. And like a dude like tackles one of them. Mm-hmm. You could probably get over there and at least try to help the guy who got tackled and maybe like save the other two.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like, why not, when David goes to the car, the two of you just create a distraction or run for it. He can't get all three of you at once.
David tries to run to his car, you're saying, and get Emily's phone, but the man in the parka catches him and chases him back inside. David drops the phone, so he's not even able to... So that was completely worthless, other than him losing his suit jacket, so he is slightly colder than the other two.
Now, this is the point where I thought there might be an interesting twist, because you notice when he pulls up her phone, it says she has no contacts.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, is she in on this? Is she, like, planning to rob these two idiots?
that would have been great.
Yes, something like that would have been interesting, but no.
Emily writes help on the window in lipstick. The police car from earlier comes back, but it is just the security guard who parks insanely far away.
So far away from the ATM.
Sees the car in the parking lot with its hood popped, its window shattered.
Sees help painted, sees help on, the
painted on the window in lipstick, and parks further away than David parked.
Yes. And this is the point in the movie where it goes beyond all belief.
And so he's like yelling at them, like, "What do you guys need help?" Like, and even then, though literally they doesn't hear the dude walking up behind him, who then bashes his skull in with a fucking tire iron.
The critical thing is before that, he looks over, he sees the dead dog walking man laying there dead. He gets on his radio and he says, "Central, come in." And then he gets clubbed with the tire iron. But you can hear on his radio, the guy on the other end's like, "Come in. Come back. Come back." Like, and they never check it out. Yeah. No one ever comes to investigate this guy getting cut off mid-sentence and never checking in again.
When he was clearly calling in something.
For hours. They don't bother to investigate. A security guard disappearing in the middle of a call.
While the three are arguing, a man in a parka comes in, and immediately they attack him, and David strangles him with, like, the beaded window blind curtain.
Yes.
But they realize that they just killed man in a parka, not the man in a parka, who's still standing outside. Also, just let this dude walk in.
He randomly kills the dog walker, but lets this guy walk up, even though he could have seen any amount of evidence that would have let him turn this guy in.
Also, where was his car?
Yes. One, where was his car? Two, how did he not see the dead dog walker laying conveniently in the light so that you could see him? Never even gets moved, by the way.
Corey takes the dead man's coat, and he and David argue about whose fault it is. And I mean, I guess if we're saying whose fault it is that they're at the ATM, I guess it's Corey's.
Well, it's Corey and David, because David didn't have to pick this fucking ATM to go to either. That's the whole crux of this movie, too. It's like, why not just go to an ATM close to the pizza place?
That's the thing, too, is maybe this ATM is close to the pizza place, but then...
Then where's all the traffic?
Yeah, then where's this pizza place that's open till 2 a.m.?
Yeah, so it'd be people all over the place. Drunk, stoners.
Corey tries running for it, but runs into, like, a thin metal wire that has been stretched along exterior of the parking lot.
He had time to set a game trip wire, too, Jay. Yep. Don't question it.
Which trips him, and then the man in the parka walks over and stabs Corey while Emily holds David back. But then we see, like, at one point, David shove Emily, like, backwards, and that will come into play later.
Also, he tripped him, and then he never tries to even get up. And it's like, with the level of drunk he was, I don't even think that impact would have fazed him that much to fall backwards. He would have got up and kept trying to run.
And I had a thought, too, where I was like, okay, so maybe it's right at, like, maybe it's, like, right at his throat. Like, maybe it kind of, like, caught him off guard, knocked the wind out of him, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, these are three different people of three varying heights. Like, they're all kind of similar in height. But even then... he doesn't know their exact height or where their necks are located.
And how would he even... because they know, by that point, they know that the car has been disabled. So, and he sets it up in the direction that the car was. How does he know they're not going to run in a different direction?
What if they run... did he stretch it around the entire part? Then why didn't they see that he was doing this?
I know. It's like, you know, yes, he would be able to put up a wire that you probably wouldn't be able to see in the dark, but you would see him anchoring it to different things. Because if you don't anchor it to something strong enough, you just bust it down when you run into it.
Imagine he runs through it, and it's like the Chariots of Fire, dun 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 dun, and he just runs through it like it's a finish line.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
It is now 4:55 a.m. and minus six, and the man in the parka grabs a hose from over by the Christmas tree stall.
Which, again, it's negative six, and you have an unsecured hose just laying on the ground.
That is dripping water.
Yes, still dripping water. It's like, that thing would be frozen solid. If you know anything about living in a place as cold as we do, you have to empty the water out of your hoses, otherwise they will freeze solid.
Also, at some point, he's able to cut the heat to the building somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
But so we see him do, like, that happens early on, and then about the time that he is grabbing this hose... he is still trying to get his way into the back door of the ATM.
Yes, and he is, by the way, comically pounding on the ATM lock with a screwdriver and hammer, trying to bust it open, and it's like, there is no way that would not be alarmed.
So is there a switch on, like, is there just a big switch on the back of the ATM that just says, heat, and he just flipped the heat switch off?
I guess, Jay, because, you know... It's like anything he would have done to cut the heat would have certainly triggered some kind of alarm.
I think when he cuts the lights, it probably would have triggered the alarm.
Any kind of tampering, especially in an area where they know this thing is at risk because they have security set up already. It's like there would be some kind of silent alarm, at least to the surveillance company, because there's surveillance on the thing. There's a camera that comes into play later.
Yep. Inside, David and Emily talk about everything that's happened, and they are about to kiss when the man starts banging on the back of the building. They notice that Corey is still alive, kind of crawling towards them, and they run and get him inside, and the man puts David's car in neutral and pushes it in front of the door so they can't leave. Which, once again, with everything that's about to happen later on, how do the police explain some of this shit away?
Yes, well, and he also somehow edited the camera footage on the fly to not show any of the things he didn't want to be seen.
Unless it's one of those cameras that only takes a screenshot every minutes or whatever.
Maybe that would be the case, but it's like, okay, so Corey leaves the building perfectly fine, and then he comes back into frame crawling and stabbed, and David never leaves the building.
Yep.
So it's like, what, did David have an accomplice on the outside? If then, why didn't they look for him?
Right, exactly. Especially when he keeps yelling about, he's over there! Yeah,
like, no, they literally all say that multiple times, and they point. They're like, oh my god, he's over there! There he is again!
Corey's bleeding out from the knife wound as the man starts flooding the building with cold water.
I was like, oh Jesus, we got another P2 on our hands.
They find a worse P2. Yes,
that's what I was going to say. This is a worse P2.
They find a lighter and light a bunch of trash in a trash can, trying to trigger the smoke alarm while the man in the park watches from David's folding chair sitting in the parking lot. Emily gets on David's shoulders, and the alarm starts to blare, and then she just falls off the back of his shoulders backwards and cracks her head on a ledge.
That entire trash fire scene is pointless, by the way. If you hold just a lighter up to those things, it will trigger them.
Yes. David holds her in his arms when a loud crash happens, and the man has driven the security car into David's car, crashing it through the doorway.
With David in the building, by the way, and you can clearly see on the camera he's in the building when this happens.
So how do they explain that?
He somehow was in the building and drove the car into the building at the same time.
Or, I don't know, how do you explain the flooding?
Yes. Or the tampering with the back door, even though you never see him leave the room on camera, except for when he goes to the car.
David goes and gets, David like reaches into the car, grabs Corey's bottle of liquor, tears off a strip from his suit jacket, makes a Molotov cocktail that he throws at the man sitting in the chair,
but
it's the security guard.
It turns out it was a realistic decoy of himself he assembled somehow while no one was watching him.
How many people own this exact same parka that he's...
I don't know. How many people can perform these actions in plain view in front of a glass building and somehow not be seen?
Right. David sees the killer standing by the dog owner's corpse right as the police sirens start blaring. And they show up and they arrest David, who screams, "He's right there!
He's right over there! Somebody get him!" Ah!
The police drive David away as a crowd is formed of people kind of staring, like looking, walking, watching him. And we see a bunch of people wearing parkas.
Oh, yeah. Geez, convenient how all these people just showed up, huh, Jay?
Yeah. And then we see one of them, like, we know one of them is the killer because he's
got the earrings.
Yeah. Or is it that he has the little pin or the little button or whatever?
He's got the earrings, I think, that he gave her. She gave him up to trade or whatever.
Yeah.
And they thought he wants money, even though he never gives any indication that he wants money.
The police recover security footage, but it just shows what he wants it to be.
It only shows David being a criminal and nothing else, conveniently.
But also doesn't show what, like, when the water was pouring in. Yes. Like, it doesn't, if it's just taking, like, a picture every minute or something, it would have footage of like some of these insane things happening.
As I say, it would have a bunch of it would have footage, hours of footage basically by that point of them just sitting there peacefully with each other, which would make no sense for him killing them.
Huddled up,
rubbing each other's hands for warmth, talking, discussing, pointing at the man outside.
Yep. Screaming, writing help on the window.
Yes.
But yeah, apparently, for whatever reason, these cameras don't see any of that. So I guess they assume that David was killing people for money, and then it went wrong. I don't know.
David killed. Yeah, there's literally no motivation for this crime either. That's what kills me, because the only money that was withdrawn was from David's account. It's like, so I withdrew money for myself, and then I killed people because I felt
wanted
like
their money.
Yeah, and I had plenty of money, but I decided I needed my friend's watch and earrings.
And because I think the killer tosses all of the stuff into like David's trunk.
Yeah.
But then also, how do you explain David's car being one having all of the electrical stuff ripped out?
Yes.
And then being rear-ended by the security guard's vehicle.
Yes. And you could literally just look up the records and see the only person to withdraw money that night was David.
It's so, yeah. It just makes no sense. Anyway, we see the man in the parka walk back to his storage locker and starts planning for the next kill. I don't know.
And I don't know. How do you plan? That's the whole thing. This movie is literally like polar opposites. Haha, it's cold. So he's a meticulous planning, super genius serial killer, but he's going to kill people that he has no idea who's actually going to show up, what kind of vehicle they're going to have, anything else.
Yeah, what if it's like, what if like a group of like eight good old boys rolls yes. up with like loaded with guns? Is he gonna be like, no, I'm gonna, it doesn't matter who it is. Like,
what if I show up, Jay? And what if I show up to the ATM and then I just pull out my gun and shoot this guy right. when he menaces me outside like, the ATM?
He has
nothing with him.
He just so happens to be these exact people with these exact items in the trunk of their car that doesn't work, who have phones that are dead.
Yes, and one of them doesn't have his phone by some happenstance. None of them are armed with anything. Because, you know, you would think a woman who works late in the city would at least in her purse have mace or a taser or something like that. You know, especially a woman who's going to be alone at night in parking garages and things. She would have some kind of self-defense product.
You would think.
But that would require her to be a realistic woman and not a character in this movie.
Credits roll. We get another creepy version of Silent Night playing.
And then...
end of movie.
Then we get the fucking after credit scene. Like, they had something here, Jay.
Where, I don't know, is he planning to, like, murder people at a barn?
And a barn. There's a barn, a mall, a shopping center.
So he's planning this for multiple people. Or has done this to multiple people? And I don't know.
Either he has done it or is planning to do it. I don't know how the hell he would get away with anything like that. But because, yeah, maybe in this one very specific instance you could pull this off with the one camera that has this one field of view. But it's like, he had plans that said shopping center. I'm like, there would be so many cameras you would never stay off of them. There'd be cameras in the parking lot, cameras in front of the entire mall, in the stores. You would never stay off camera. And that this also, he has these diagrams and all this detailed layout of the building and all of its security systems and everything. What about the buildings next to it? The
right.
other places you can
cameras?
Clearly see, none of them had cameras pointing this direction or watching him set up all these traps and everything in the parking lot.
Like, the one place I am willing to say maybe didn't have cameras was the Christmas tree
yes,
stand.
That may not have.
But if it is a bad neighborhood and it is, like, which we're kind of supposed to believe.
We have to assume, yeah.
And it is 2012. They probably had some kind of rudimentary security system.
Especially, like, in a warehouse area. You know, places that routinely get robbed. They're going to have that stuff.
But nope, none of that.
And also, no truckers. Not a single trucker comes in or out of this place. Because that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for, like, at the end, you know, like a trucker shows up to get money out of the ATM on his way out of one of these warehouses or whatever and just shoots this guy.
That would have been great.
Or beats him to death with, like, his tire thumper club or something. Because, like, this guy shows no special abilities. He doesn't even walk that fast.
He's just tall. He's yes. just tall and big.
He's an average built man, Jay. He's a little bit taller than average, and he's got a big parka on. That's his entire personality.
All right. Well, Jeff, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the Christmas spirit, because there's basically none.
How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills? The kills, not at all. No. Other than the fact that the guy is wearing a parka and it's wintertime. The movie, I think it wants to be really Christmassy, and I think there are opportunities for it to be.
Could have been way more Christmassy.
And then it just traps us in an ATM for 70 minutes. Like,
and it's not even decorated.
Yep.
You know, you could have had like the bank decorated it for Christmas or whatever.
But like the Christmas party, incredibly well decorated. Yes. The fucking Christmas tree stand, there's lights all over it. Mm. Like I kept thinking, I'm like, maybe I don't remember it. Maybe something happens with that. And there's something with the light. No, there's not.
See, that would have been interesting. They get away, have a chase through the Christmas tree farm, trying to dodge in and out of the trees.
Oh, I bring that up. That's in one of my categories later on.
Oh boy.
So
there's one. There's about one. What would you say? 5 minute scene of Christmas in this entire thing.
I'd say maybe about 10. But yeah, it's
because they're sitting around the party telling jokes, and then there's the awkward love thing.
And then other than that, it's just the fact that it's cold. Mm-hmm. But as we've said time and time again, just because it's cold does not mean it's a Christmas. Just because there's snow, just because it's cold does not make it a Christmas movie.
Otherwise,
The Shining is not inherently a Christmas movie.
I was going to say, otherwise Black Phone 2 would be a Christmas movie.
Yep, which we're both disappointed about because it could have been.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah, I'm going to have to go low on this Christmas spirit.
Yeah, same here. What do you think next? Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, etc.?
Sure.
I loved both the creepy versions of Silent Night that played in the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah, I like. No, the soundtrack was a strong point.
And even though there's minimal snow on the ground, if none at all, it does feel cold.
Yes, they make it. They do a good job of making it seem like it's cold. They do the ice on the windows, like, after the heat gets turned
off. These are competent enough actors to understand that they need to act like it is cold outside. Mm. Sometimes we watch these movies and the people are like, "Oh, it's freezing," and they're wearing like a light jacket.
Yes. I was going to say, the only things like that stuck out to me were, you would be able to survive in a building that had heat if it was cut off for a few hours.
And if you lived there, you would have
more
heavier jackets.
Protective stuff. Like, that girl would not have a jacket.
Yep. She has a light, like, I don't, not even like fleece. Like, it's kind of just like,
Like a fall sweatshirt almost. And then, the hose not being frozen was a little bit unbelievable, because if they hadn't emphasized how cold it was so much, because if it's -6 actual temperature, you know, the wind chills like -30.
Yes. or if we have a bomb cyclone, it could be -60 a couple of years ago.
We could be talking Siberia levels of cold.
Yep.
There's not going to be a flowing hose, especially not one that could flow enough to flood an ATM.
Yep. I'm watching them talk about how cold it is, and I'm like, oh, they're doing a really good job. And like, mm-hmm. It does seem like it's cold. And then you think about anything else involved, and you're like, is it that cold?
Yeah. Or like the guy walking his dog barely being dressed for the cold.
Have the writers never been in a cold area before?
Well, clearly the writers don't know how security works, which I'm beginning to find a theme in these movies. That's
certainly, it's been in. Like,
the security guard, Jay, can just get killed mid-sentence on his call, and then no one comes to check it out.
Like, that's the thing. This one is even more egregious than Christy.
Yes.
Like,
Christy, you could at least make the argument, you know, he wasn't actively on the radio with the central command or whatever. But even then, someone would come check it out. In this case, there would be armed security coming to check this out.
Yep. Yeah, if you just went, hey, 852 to Central, and then click nothing else.
I mean, he literally goes, when he gets hit in the back.
And they're just...
And they're on the radio.
Hey, like, you there?
Come in. Come back.
Dave, you there?
This is Central. Come in. No, we're never going to check that out.
Like, oh my gosh.
And he never checks in again.
Yep. And they're just fine with it. Everything's fine. Because,
you know, if it had been like five, you see, the man in the parka could have picked up his radio and been like, oh, everything's fine here. Everything's good. And then maybe he could have bought himself a little time.
Yep.
But yeah, they never bother.
Or, you know, even though it's 2012, they probably had tracking devices in those cars. They would see that his car has not moved.
Was another thing I was going to bring up is his car, being a security vehicle, almost certainly has a dash cam. The police couldn't pull that and see what happened.
Right.
Because he would have definitely been on the dash cam of that guy's car, because he's in the headlights when he kills him.
Yep. Let's do something that I think we actually enjoyed. Let's do Christmas Carol's favorite quotes.
I don't read, Jay. That's Josh.
That's Josh. Toe to tip, that's Josh. Ugh, candy canes taste like shit.
Josh. You're going to find a theme in these memorable lines.
Did you know tequila is a superfood like blueberries?
Josh. I think we may have pulled all the same quotes.
Ever since you grew facial hair, Jerry, you're a different person. A different person I don't like. Josh.
Josh. Come on, man. You got to come to the party. It's got streamers and bitches. That's all you need.
Josh.
That's what it's all about.
A gathering? What is she, a wizard? Yeah. Does she keep a wand next to her purse? Josh. Yeah.
Anything memorable about this movie, pretty much, Josh.
I have one thing that's not a Josh line. Mm-hmm. Emily, you forgot your hat. Oh, you have one. That's David. Emily goes, yeah, that's not mine. David, shit, did I steal a hat?
I had, David, you should probably return that hat.
He's like, what, I don't look good in purple?
Yeah. But yeah, no, basically all of Josh's lines were pretty good.
And he was the star. He was. It's one of those movies. I have friends that like are big like Josh Peck fans, and so like I'm watching this movie. I'm like, I wonder if they've seen this. I wonder if they know him. Like they liked Drake and Josh. Like
yeah,
you know, when it was airing, and I'm like, I wonder if they've seen ATM.
They haven't. They should.
They should. It's got Josh in a way you've never seen him before. Being a dick.
When Josh dies, you can just turn it off if you want.
Oh, the best character's dead.
That's literally what I thought when he was getting stabbed in the parking lot. I'm like, oh man, now we're not gonna have any more Josh.
All right. Jeff, I know what he was thinking. He was thinking Megan.
That would have been hilarious if he made a Megan reference.
he looks the man in the eyes and he goes, Megan? And Miranda Cosgrove's like, it's not me.
I should have thrown in an iCarly.
All right, broken bulb, brilliant bulb. Jeff, one thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
This was hard. This was really hard because there's so many things you could fix with this. But the main thing I want to fix is, again, this seems to be a theme in a lot of movies lately. We need to do some rewrites, some punch-ups. But the main thing is this killer needs some kind of motivation because you really just don't care about this at all. It starts off with promising you like, oh, this is going to be some meticulously planned hit job. You know, he's got all these schematics laid out. You know, clearly somebody's been dead before. So maybe he's been doing this for a while. And, you know, like you said, the cops are on to him or something. And this is going to be his final job. Because honestly, I thought maybe he's a thief. Maybe they were just here at the wrong time. Right. And he was going to rob this place.
That would have been. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, he just never has any motivation. He never acts with any rhyme or reason because, yeah, like we said, he kills one guy, lets another guy through, does this elaborate frame-up job on David for no apparent reason because he has no connection to any of these people, had no idea they would even be here. There's got to be some connection between him and these three. Otherwise, none of this makes any sense.
What if there were only two people and one of them, and one of them got stabbed and the other one had already like busted their head open trying to turn the thing on. Then who gets framed? Like there's a dude that's stabbed. How do you explain the dude that got stabbed?
Yeah.
Like there. Yeah.
I almost thought he was going to be one of the guys they were making fun of at the party. Cause there's that guy they hold on his face. It's not the one he's making fun of for growing a beard or whatever. It's the other guy.
Yeah.
They hold on his face when he asks the question, did you pay for the pizza or whatever?
Right.
And then they make fun of him, call him a dumbass or whatever. He's like, no, I was saying what as rhetorically because you're stupid. Whatever. I'm like, is it going to be that guy? Is he like a serial killer or whatever? And they just pissed him off with that. And he followed him out here.
Or I thought it was going to be like a dude who worked for the ATM company. Yes. And he's been planning like this heist.
And they got in the way. And they just
so happen to be people who get in the way.
That would have made sense. But no, he has literally no motivation to do this. And he had no way of knowing who would show up and with what equipment.
Like, you know, he lucked out that.
He lucked out that three idiots showed up who apparently don't realize they could just beat him up and leave.
Who have a car that
has tools in the back.
That has tools in the back that doesn't lock because he doesn't have the ability to open that car door by himself. Mm-hmm. Except for because he only gets the ability to smash things open
when he steals the tire.
When he steals the tire iron. I guess he could get a rock or something, but like he has nothing to do that with early on.
Absolutely no. So for somebody who's such a meticulous planner, he brings no equipment with him. He relies on the fact that there's going to be an unfrozen hose to pull off this flooding plan. he somehow is able to selectively cut just the heater to the building without tripping anything else, beats on the back door, which is secured.
And then somehow is able to just explain away crashing two cars through the front of the thing and being like, no, it was clearly him who did it.
I almost thought, you know, maybe he's like a cop or something and he knows how to get around these security procedures. Maybe he's, because they make a big deal of him losing that guy's 401k and then they bring it up later. Like, maybe this is that guy on the phone mad at you. But see, I thought maybe it's going to be someone that the girl screwed over. It's like a cop or whatever, and she lost his life savings or something like that, and now he's getting revenge.
Or just like a cop who's like, no, I finally, like, I want to be able to get away with something. Yes. And then you get a thing where, like, all the cops are there, and then, like, the cop that, like, puts him in the police car, like, he turns around and looks at him, and it's the same eyes or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, it was you. Like, that would have been a great moment.
Something, yeah. Like, have him pull, he's on duty or whatever, he pulls him over, like, on the way to the pizza place or something. Yeah,
and then comes back and gets them later on.
They could have done something like that, but no, he has no motivation. He has no connection to these characters. Therefore, there is no possible way he could know who's going to show up at this place, which makes the entire story fall apart. Because without knowing what equipment and what people you're going to have show up, how do you do this? Like we said, what if it had just been a guy that showed up, you know, it's like, oh, it's just a random guy. He has a working car, so you can't break into it because he locks it when he goes to the ATM. You go stand in front of him menacingly and he's, you know, carrying a gun or a knife or whatever, and he just kills you.
You're right.
The story falls apart under like the barest scrutiny.
For me, it's not enough happens to justify this runtime.
Yes.
It is over an hour and a half long. Mm-hmm. And it either doesn't need to be a full length movie or more needs to happen during this movie to justify the fact that it is this long.
Yes.
More on that later. More on that in my final rating.
Yeah.
Brilliant Bulb. Thing you want to praise.
Josh. Josh was really good. I liked it. He was the only interesting character. He had some funny lines. He acts believably in the situation, I would say. He's the only one.
Especially for someone who's drunk.
Yes, I'd say he's supposed to be drunk and impaired or whatever. And he acts like you would expect. He's like, he's tough until he gets scared. And then, you know, he runs back in or whatever.
Also, we never get a scene. Like, he's drunk. We never get a scene of him being like, move over, I gotta piss.
Yeah,
like,
that's also an interesting point. But yeah, he doesn't. He's the only character I thought that didn't have, like, a nonsense motivation to stay in this ATM.
Mine is that, I thought the actors were really good. I kind of agree with you. Josh was the best, but I thought the three leads all did a pretty good job.
Serviceable job.
But my other one was that, like, and I know I say this a lot. I feel like there's a really good idea here. I think, like, the idea of being trapped in, like, a freezing parking lot is terrifying.
Yeah.
This needed a rewrite. This needed something else. But
it needed something.
But there's something here. There's a good idea for a good movie here. We didn't get it, but there is something here.
Yes, you could do something with this, but it would have to be a substantial change from what they gave us.
Which I guess leads us into final ratings. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-ho hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Is it you'll be sorry? Jeff, reluctantly, I have to give this a you'll be sorry.
I'm not reluctant at all.
This movie either needs to be a short in an anthology like A Christmas Horror Story. Yeah. I would rather have this be the anthology story, the Krampus story with the family on Christmas vacation. Put this fucking piece of ATM into there.
Yeah.
And maybe have it be a Krampus that's like menacing them around a fucking ATM or something. Or just like a nameless faceless killer or something.
Yeah.
Like do that, put and just cut this down to like 30 minutes. It would need to be in something that is shot like Trick or Treat or A Christmas Horror Story where it's kind of split out.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to watch 30 minutes straight of this, but like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Yeah,
you know, 10 minutes here, another 5 minutes there. I think this would be great. Or do more shit.
Yeah.
use the whole parking lot. You know, have a scene where they are in the Christmas tree farm and they are hiding amongst the trees and their faces are kind of being like illuminated just by the flashing of like the red and green lights. Mm-hmm. That would be like as they're hiding amongst the trees, that would be a great scene. And they have to like escape through there or they're able to like hide out in there. Like, no, instead they're just in the ATM the entire time. Yeah. And it's just that doesn't work for a 90-minute movie.
No, like I said, you'll be sorry. This is the exact kind of movie that You'll Be Sorry was created for. It's not enough of a movie to justify us sitting here for this entire time. It's boring at most parts. There's no motivation for the killer at all, so you really don't care.
As much as The Strangers is a thing, it did a disservice to horror movies by just being like, nameless, faceless killer. Oh, just because I can.
But that's the thing is, he couldn't even. If this had been a different group of people, he couldn't have done this.
Yep.
That's the thing that kills me.
It just so happened to be three college students. Yes. Like, I was able to get away with it. But if it were, you know, like I said, a bunch of good old boys, I would be fucked.
Or even just, you know, oh shit, five guys just showed up from the bar or whatever. And, you know, they're not intimidated by me to stay in this ATM. They just push past me and go back to their car.
In my memory, too, there were a lot of things where I'm like trying to remember what happened. In my memory, I thought there was like another person in the ATM already.
Yeah.
And they go to leave. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And they push past and go to leave and they get stabbed. And that's maybe the moment where like.
That would have made more sense. But yes, that's another thing that really stacked this up for me was they act afraid of this guy before they even know what the hell he's there for. It's like he could have easily just been waiting for you guys to leave the ATM so he could use it.
Yep. Like
there's no reason to be irrationally afraid of this guy.
Yeah, it has that tension before it's even earned that tension.
That's honestly, if I had to do a one sentence review for this, it would be not enough happens, comma, unearned tension.
But yeah, just
I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, like potential. There's a real good idea here. They just don't give it to us at all.
No. They do. In fact, they do the worst possible thing you could do with this.
Well, Jeff, just stop to think. We're getting close for Christmas. Maybe we're wrong.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've seen a lot of people defending this online.
There was one review on IMDb that literally read like, I was like, did Jeff write this review? It was a 10 out of 10, and it was literally being like calling the villain the man was an inspired choice. Like, and I'm just like, did Jeff fucking write this review to like troll me?
That would be funny. I should start planting troll reviews around the internet. Loved it.
I didn't grab that one. I was thinking about it, but I didn't.
Oh, I've got some interesting takes, we'll say.
All right. Now, do you want, I've got like 3.5.
I've got three in each category. I got three that are more on our end and three that are 5-star reviews.
I was gonna say I've got like 2 10 out of 10s and then like an 8 out of 10 and then kind of like follow-ups to that 8 out of 10 where people are kind of like, yeah, it's all like that are more kind of in line with us. I'll go first. 10 out of 10. This one's pretty short. Great movie.
Okay.
This movie is so underrated and it should have been turned into a franchise. This could have been the start of a new horror franchise. Fuck. The storyline was great.
No.
Great acting.
No.
And a outstanding movie overall. I highly recommend this movie. And this is coming from a true horror lover.
Oh my God.
That true horror lover's name, Jeff? On IMDb, Percy Jackson 34779. You know, a true horror lover. Yeah, Percy clearly. Jackson.
Yeah. Well, Jay, a masterclass in minimalist terror. 5 stars. ATM is a razor-sharp exercise in tension, proving you don't need sprawling sets or elaborate mythology to generate palpable dread. The film weaponizes space. Three people trapped in a tiny glass booth. It's not that tiny.
I've seen phone booth before. I've seen tinier.
And turns the frozen parking lot into a stage for pure anxiety, except it really doesn't.
I wish it did. I wish it fucking turned the parking lot into...
The script is a lesson in escalation and is directed with ice-cold precision. The final twist delivers a nihilistic punch worthy of classic urban paranoia thrillers.
There's a twist? I mean, I guess that he gets away with it?
I guess.
Is that the twist?
I think the twist is supposed to be he's framing him for murder, but that becomes pretty obvious about halfway through.
I don't know that I would call that a twist. I don't know what I would call that.
A reveal?
Yeah. I guess. I don't think that's a twist.
I don't think it's a twist. See, a twist would have been one of them's in on it, or it's...
Yeah, Emily's in on it.
It's somebody at the office that's doing it or whatever that hates, you know, like, I fucking hate Corey. He's such a dick.
Yep.
And I decided to kill you guys.
Yep.
No, he's like, you know, I was just going to kill Corey, but you guys gave him a ride home, so you're fucked too.
Yeah, you stupid idiots.
But yeah. I don't see any of that in this. I don't know where you're getting this razor sharp or earned palpable dread. And they don't use the whole parking lot. They just stay in the ATM.
No, I wish they used the whole park. I would have loved a thing where they like ran behind, because it's like a grocery store or something, which means there's got to be like truck docks.
Yeah.
That are like loading and unloading. I would have loved a thing where they like ran through there and they're kind of like dodging in between like the like they have to like hide under a truck, or they're like that like a semi trailer that's parked there or something, or they're like they like huddle up like in the grocery store room for like, and there's like a guy who's like working the late night shift, and he goes and answers the door because he hears him banging on it just for the killer to like come up and stab him or something like that. Like,
we have the death when she falls off his shoulders. It's so unimpactful. It's ridiculous. You know, it would have been a good way to do that. They escape the ATM. They're running, and you know this is an industrial area, and she runs a little bit ahead, and she gets pancaked by a semi that's like coming up to the loading dock or something like that. See, that would be an impactful... It's like, oh shit, she's dead, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. It would have been a better version of bonking her head on the table.
Or they're running away, they don't see the killer, and then he's in the security car and runs her over.
Something like that, yeah. But no... Yeah, I don't know what the hell this guy was smoking, but this is not a 5-star movie.
Another one I have 10 out of 10. A claustrophobic, God, thriller that will leave you breathless.
Yeah, from how much you're cussing at it.
This movie stands out. I saw a lot of thriller movies and other fantasies, but this one is unique. This is a heart-pounding thriller that will keep you on the edge of your seat from start to finish.
Oh, come on.
With a simple yet effective premise that the three people trapped in the ATM... Of the three people trapped in an ATM, the film delivers a claustrophobic and tension-filled experience. The suspense builds as the hooded man outside circles the ATM, cutting off all means of escape. I mean, no, there's a giant parking lot they could run into.
There are so many means of escape.
Also, what if the person's an Olympic sprinter?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got you trapped. No, the dude just runs past him.
He doesn't even walk that fast. What if the guy's just in average shape? David has no problem running away from him when he bends over to pick up the envelope.
The acting is solid, and the lack of character development adds to a sense of helplessness. While the pacing can be slow at times, the film is a must-watch for horror fans looking for a thrilling ride.
Is it? Is it really?
Is it? Is it indeed? This was made in March of 2023.
Wow. A decade after. A snow-dusted nightmare that stuck with me. 5 stars. I watched this on a whim and was shocked by how intense it gets. The slow build. The killer silently lurking outside. Menacingly.
Menacingly.
The freezing cold. It all adds up. That's all it says. Who knows to what. I love survival.
It all adds up, Jeff.
It all adds up. I love survival horror when it's simple and brutal. And ATM delivers that perfectly. And the ending, I was yelling at my TV. This is exactly the kind of nasty little thriller I like to recommend to my friends.
Oh, it's a nasty little thriller. Oh, I like to recommend the nasty movies to my friends.
You're making me uncomfortable, sir.
There was a guy at Spirit this year who's like wanted movie recommendations. And so as a joke, I said to one of my coworkers, I'm like, what if I just start writing down like the grossest movies I can think of? And that would be like, oh, here's some nasty movies that I want to recommend. And I'm like, there was part of me who was like, do I do like Sallow and like a Serbian film? Movies that I haven't even seen, but have heard.
Are nasty.
Know, the human centipede movies. And like, I think I wound up like, instead, like my list was like Reanimator, From Beyond, Castle Freak. Like, I'm like, you know, lower budget, like late 80s, early 90s movies with like, you know, that have some real goopy, gory, like, that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm picturing me being like, yeah, I'd like to recommend nasty movies to my friends, and they are those. And then this person goes, I like to recommend nasty movies, and it's ATM.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't recommend this movie to me,
James. Yeah. All right, here's my last review. I like to recommend nasty movies. Anyone watched a film called ATM 2012? This is from Reddit.
I wish I didn't.
I watched it because I liked movies where the victim is trapped.
I used to.
And then I watched ATM.
Yeah.
I was expecting it to be so bad because of the reviews it got, but I think this film is extremely underrated. I thought Josh Peck was going to be such a bad actor, and that main kid is always pretty good in movies. I loved the villain. I loved all the traps he put on them. All the traps he put on them.
All one trap.
Including the last one with the security guard in the chair. I guess that was...
I mean, that's not really a trap. That's like a decoy.
Yeah. I love how he worked out every angle of the camera. But the ending, I mean, come on. Having a secret spot in a storage unit where he takes his work and his blueprints, I think it's brilliant.
Do you?
That's the thing they took away from. No explanation. He just does it because anger, enjoyment. True psychos don't need a motive. No dumb backstory either. I loved it. 8 out of 10. 8.8 out of 10.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is, true psychos do have a motive. Your motive might not make sense to you, but there aren't psychos out there going like, "I'm gonna do this just 'cause." There's some motive in their mind. It may not make sense, but they have a reason for doing it.
And then here's the two that I was like, these are people that I more agree with. I enjoyed it because I like the subgenre of single location movies, but there were so many plot holes, it does hinder the enjoyment a little. And the ending where he gets framed for it is just so unbelievable that I rolled my eyes and removed a whole star from my rating on Letterboxd.
Amen, brother.
And then here's another one. Enjoyed at the first time. Find it a bit silly on the second time.
It's Jay.
And which, yeah, I was like, oh, hey, that was me. It me, I'm that.
You're being, he's being charitable by saying a bit silly.
No, it literally, yeah, you do any scrutiny of the movie and you go, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know about this. All right, well, here's a 5-star and then we'll have a couple of 0 stars.
I'm gonna pull up the one that,
oh yeah, go ahead.
while you're doing
modern Hitchcockian suspense in a glass box /film. There's a beautiful elegance in how ATM traps its characters within a transparent cube. Visible, vulnerable, and utterly powerless. The film recalls Hitchcock's fascination. Get my boy's name out of your fucking mouth. Alfred Hitchcock would sit on the cast of this movie and suffocate them to death. The film recalls Hitchcock's fascination with restricted perspective and audience helplessness. Brooks stages the action like a play and uses composition and negative space to induce terror. The anonymous killer embodies modern surveillance horror, a force that exists everywhere and nowhere.
I guess that's kind of a good take. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective.
5 stars. As good as Hitchcock, Jay.
Like, I disagree with everything, but that last line, I kind of, like, I'm like, I didn't think about it from, like, the aspect of it being more about surveillance and stuff. Like, no, that kind of makes sense.
Hitchcock.
All right, 10 out of 10. Quite possibly the best movie ever made. This is one that I literally
wrote this.
ATM is without a doubt one of the most fantastic movies ever made. To call it a modern masterpiece would be an understatement.
Yep.
The film dwarfs all other movies in terms of its script, scope, scale, acting, visual effects, sound design, cinematography, and sheer majesty.
God, I love a good troll.
Josh Peck is a triumph, which, I mean, he brings countless years of expertise to his role of Corey. On the surface, Corey at first appears like a typical jerk by forcing his coworker to stop at an ATM on the side of the road late at night. But as the film progresses, the layers of Corey's character begin to peel back.
Do they?
And you start to realize there is much more to Corey than meets the eye.
There is?
Alice Eve and Brian Gerty are no less mesmerizing as a pair of co-workers turned lovers.
They who, aren't, though.
Along with Corey, are in for a wild ride at a seemingly ordinary ATM stop. Here's the line that I love. But the actor who steals the show is Mike O'Brien, playing Man. Man is, in a word, bone-chilling. His posture and blank, ominous stare are the makings of sheer terror that you will not be able to shake for weeks. And then it goes on, sniffing farts and trolling people by pretending to leave a good review. And clearly, it's... guide the camera with the skill and grace of a modern-day Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah,
is one of the lines.
Did I write this? Was I drunk?
And it was written in 2019. Did you secretly see this movie years ago?
I don't know. Maybe. That seems like a lot. This seems like the kind of trolling I'd go in for. You were right, Jay. You were right to think this was me.
All right.
One star, zero if I could. The ATM was the smartest character. I've seen vending machines make better decisions. The characters are so brain-meltingly stupid that I started rooting for the cold weather to finish them off, since the killer obviously wasn't going to.
Come on, do it!
The killer doesn't need skill, just patience when these three attempt to out-idiot each other, which is a good thing, since there's literally no way he could have planned this crime. The only suspense is wondering which plot hole you'll fall into next.
Solid. Out idiot each other is a good way to describe how they react.
Yeah. A feature length PSA on how not to survive anything. As someone who teaches outdoor survival, this movie personally offends me. Every single possible choice is the wrong one. You're in an ATM booth. You're not lost at sea. The villain must have been shocked at how easy this was, which is a good thing, since he obviously didn't plan this out at all. How could he have? How could he have known three of the stupidest people in the world would show up in a car that doesn't even lock? This movie should just be called Don't Do This.
How could he know that? Once again, we're back to that. How could he have known? He couldn't believe his luck that these people were this fucking stupid.
Zero stars. This film should have come with a punchline, not a runtime. Imagine three adults losing a battle of wits to a guy in a coat in a parking lot. That's ATM. The movie stretches what should be a 10-minute short film into 90 minutes of shouting, just run at your screen until your neighbors call the police and frame you for murder.
Yep.
And one more here. If Frostbite were a movie, one star.
It's called Jack Frost, and it's a 10 out of 10.
The movie is it's cold, lifeless, and painful to endure. Watching these characters make catastrophic wrong choice after wrong choice in slow motion feels like being trapped in that booth with them, except in real life, I would have just walked away when David went for his car. The killer isn't terrifying. He's lucky. He's lucky that the script bends reality to make this nonsense plan work. Negative stars. Salt the earth where this movie was made.
Solid.
There you go.
Oh, shit. Well, Jeff, naughty list time. Where does the man... Sorry, where does man with his ominous stare? So,
but he was the real predator.
I was like, is he a grown-up version of the kid from Better Watch Out?
No, the kid from Better Watch Out would have planned this out better.
Is this the kid from Better Watch Out's dad?
It could be.
Was this Patrick Warburton the whole time? Imagine the killer's just like, hey guys, it's me, Patrick Warburton.
That would have made the movie good. He just halfway through, yeah, you find out it's Patrick Warburton.
Ah, 10 out of 10. Would have instantly turned the movie on its head.
But, yeah, no, this guy's got to rank low. We're talking around. I mean, the only thing he does really is stab. He stabs a guy who's not ready for him, the dog walking guy. He stabs a guy in the back with a tire iron. Well, I guess clubs, but somehow he stabs him, it seems like. And then he slowly stabs a guy who fell over in the gut.
Yep. And then otherwise just like is able to avoid detection.
Because he knows the range of the camera. Yep. But, and he's lucky that apparently there's no other cameras around.
But if like, you know, no, this guy is lucky in the same way that like the killers in To All a Good Night, Brooklyn Santa. Yeah. Yeah. Like, are lucky that the people are so stupid.
Yes.
Like, this guy is lucky that his victims are the dumbest fucking people you've ever encountered.
He has a Domino's mutant power where everything works out for him. Even if it's improbable that it would happen this way. He must have that.
That's gotta be.
The only way that explains this.
Oh, my car just stopped locking all of a sudden.
Run away, we can't.
You've seen Cabin in the Woods, right?
Yeah.
There's the whole thing about them, like, drugging all the people and like making them like act in different ways and stuff like that. It feels very much like that, where it's just like, no, yesterday the lock on his car worked fine. I don't know why all of a sudden he's just decided, yeah, my car's a piece of shit and doesn't lock.
Yeah.
No, we're just all gonna stand here while you're running away and he's chasing. Never mind that one of us could conceivably run off and get help right now.
Literally any of us could just be like, okay, we're gonna distract him, you run and get help. Before he has time to set up his trip line or anything like that, could have easily been done.
Or, I don't know, when he's murdering the guy with the dog, all three of you run out, get into your car and drive away. Like,
yeah.
Go get help. Like, there would have been countless times.
Or there's three of you. Run to the back of your car, get the tire iron and the screwdriver and kill this guy.
Or, you know, when he's halfway to walking towards the guy with the dog, then you all run out and run to the car. That guy's going to be confused about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Someone's going to be able to alert the cops about what's occurring.
Yeah.
No, instead we're all just going to stand here.
Or run out and meet the security guard when you see him pulling up.
Right.
Or the security guard pulls closer to the building instead of parking in the middle of nowhere. Whatever. We've talked about this to death.
Yeah,
movie sucks.
We're just going to be talking in circles here. It's time for this.
He's got to go. He's got to go, Jay.
Garbage day!
Huh? No!
I could run away from this, but I choose not to. Is this the thing you were waiting for?
Jeff, this is the thing I was waiting for. First, I want to issue my displeasure with our friends at Oreo.
Ah.
This was supposed to... I ordered this on November 1st. It got here yesterday, which would be December 2nd.
That's bad. That's slow.
And I had to contact customer service to get it, to actually get it.
Oof.
We've got Oreo Thanksgiving dinner inspired Oreos. Give that a whiff.
I don't know if I like that, Jay.
Me neither. As soon as I saw it, I went, Jeff and I are going to eat this.
I don't know if I like that.
Got a little Oreo tin.
Yeah. I mean, I like the packaging. It's cool packaging. I didn't know you could mail order Oreos.
All right. I believe we've got six flavors here.
Oh, boy.
We've got creamed corn.
Oh yay. Yeah.
We've got cranberry sauce.
That might be okay.
We've got sweet potato.
Maybe.
We've got turkey and stuffing.
Oh, God.
We've got pumpkin pie and caramel apple.
Why are you fucking Harry Pottering me, Jay, with your every flavor cookies?
They're all individually wrapped.
Of course they are. It's to stop them from mixing flavors.
All right, there's your creamed corn.
Creamed corn.
You expect me to believe an Oreo creamed this corn?
Oh! Oh, God. I don't like that at all.
I believe this is sweet potato.
Jay, you gotta smell this cream corn. You gotta...
Oh, I will. I think this is cranberry sauce.
Oh, boy. All right, give me my turkey and stuffing so I can die inside.
Sweet potato. Cranberry sauce.
You're gonna want to air out that cream corn.
Pumpkin pie.
Oh, God. Fuck.
Caramel apple.
Why are you doing this?
Jeff, as soon as I saw it, I knew.
Oh. God.
There's your turkey and stuffing.
No, it looks so bad. I don't even want to smell it after what happened with the corn.
It smells terrible.
I don't want
it. You can smell it through the package.
No, I'm not doing it.
It smells like turkey and stuffing.
I'll smell it when I eat it. I'm not doing it. The cream corn traumatized me.
You creamed the corn.
I creamed in my corn, Jay. No, open it up and get a good strong whiff. That's what killed me. Oh, boy. Now, you get a whiff of that shit, Jay. Take a hit off the cream corn Oreo.
Woo!
And then tell me this is still a good idea. Take a whiff. Go on. A little sniff there.
Hot damn.
See if airing it out a little's helped any. Nope.
Part of me thought about bringing a trash can in here so we could just spit the stuff back in.
Oh, God. Well, where do we want to start this amazing Thanksgiving feast, Jay?
Let's start at the top with creamed corn.
Oh. You like that, Jay?
It smells disgusting.
Mmm, delicious. I hate you.
Let's do this.
All right. Mmm, delicious corn on my Oreo, Jay. Mmm, that's real good. That's real good, Jay. I like that you've done this to me.
That's disgusting.
So fucking bad. Unbelievably bad, in fact.
Oh my God.
I don't know how they make it. The cream corn doesn't taste this bad. It doesn't.
The worst part is that occasionally you will get a moment where you're like, oh, that doesn't taste too bad. And then it hits you again.
Mm. Oh, yeah, this fucking corn taste is lingering, Jay. Oh. It's hitting you over the head. It's delicious. Oh, God. All right. Well, we got through that one. I'm not turkey and stuffing. I don't know if I can do
literally
it.
Literally one bite out of the corner.
I don't know if I can do this, Jay. Or what's next on the list?
Do you want to smell it?
No.
You can at least hear it, know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
How does it smell like turkey and stuffing?
It does, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about any of this. That fucking corn fucked me up.
All right. Cranberry sauce.
Oh. Which one's that?
That's the red on red.
This one?
Yep.
Okay. Now, this one I could see not being too bad.
It smells pretty good.
Fruit flavor goes with Oreo. And I mean, it's not ridiculously bad combination, chocolate and cherry, cranberry. Mm. All right, let's do it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, it's literal paradise compared to the cream corn.
Not my favorite, but not bad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Ugh.
I would eat 100 of those before another bite of the cream corn.
One creamed corn. Can I cream your corn, sir?
Ugh, God. All right, what's next on the list?
Sweet potato, which is orange and brown.
This one I also don't think is going to be that bad. Probably not as good as the cranberry sauce, but...
Oh, I don't like that smell.
Oh, I don't know about that. Never mind.
I don't like that smell.
I'm getting hints of cream corn. Yeah. Did you cream in all these Oreos, Jay?
Yeah, what do you think the white stuff is?
Oh.
Creamed corn.
God. Andrea wouldn't let that happen.
All right.
I don't like it.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like that, Jay.
It's really bad.
It's not as bad as the cream corn, but it's not good.
And then I just got a bite that like tasted like coconut for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're getting all kinds of shit in these Oreos, Jay. They advertised it as a Thanksgiving dinner, but I don't know what the fuck they did to this shit.
It's a Thanksgiving nightmare.
I was going to say, if anybody fed me cream corn that tasted like this shit, I would get up and leave.
This is the Hy-Vee dinner.
And like this would, if I ate that cream corn taste, I'd be like, well, this is clearly going to give me food poisoning and I'm going to die. So I'm going to leave now.
Well, next would be turkey and stuffing.
Why not, Jay? Why not? In for a penny, in for a pound. Have some delicious turkey and stuffing Oreos. I can't believe you've done this.
Oh my God, I just pierced the slightest corner of the package.
You got a little taste, did you? You like that taste? You like that? Well, you shouldn't, because that's a turkey and stuffing Oreo. Oh! Smells like fucking Old Roy dog food. Jesus. God. You fucking people be lucky you're not in here with these things. It's literally this bad. This is like when I crack open the fucking can of Friskies we get the cat for Christmas. No,
it just smells like fucking cat food or dog food, like wet cat food or wet dog food.
Jesus.
It smells so bad. I don't think I can do it.
Oh, we're doing it, Jay. Here we go. Delicious. You know what? I'm going to take another bite of the cream corn. I always eat my things together,
it.
Jay.
Do it.
First, we'll start off with a little bit of turkey and stuffing. Mm-mm-mm. Fucking absolutely positively revolting. I ate half of this, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know why you're taking such big bites.
Quite possibly the worst fucking thing I've ever tasted from Oreo. And maybe in general.
These are so bad.
And you know what? Because I'm a man of the people. Not a little bit of cream corn to wash it down.
I Stockholm Syndrome Jeff on this episode.
It's a little bit, you know, the corn doesn't taste so bad now, Jay, that I've had the stuffing turkey one.
Oh my God.
It's so fucking bad.
Oh, it's so terrible.
I'm going to die.
All right. You know what?
Should I eat these last two or should I just kill myself?
Bam! It's the last episode of Horror for the Holidays. Not because they ran out of horror movies to watch. Not because Jeff and Jay couldn't stand each other anymore. Because of the fucking Thanksgiving dinner Oreos.
How do they sell these?
To weirdos like us who want to...
I think the universe was trying to save us, Jay, by delaying this shipment. But you just had to call customer service, didn't you? Find out where your Oreos were.
And the pumpkin pie actually smells delicious.
Well, yeah, pumpkin pie, that makes sense. That would be an Oreo flavor. I'm surprised.
I've still got stuffing, turkey, whatever, frosting in my teeth.
I don't think I'm ever going to get rid of that flavor now, Jay. Yeah, it smells like pumpkin. All right. Meh.
Weirdly, not as good as the actual pumpkin pie Oreos we've had before.
Yeah. Not terrible, but wouldn't eat it by choice.
You know what I learned? That I don't like frosting covered Oreos.
Sometimes packages don't come for a reason, Jay. Is that what you learned? Sometimes God.
I don't like the smell of that apple.
Sometimes God's trying to save you, Jay, and you just keep ignoring him.
It's that story of the person like waiting for God, like as the flood waters rose, but it's me
the Oreos.
Yelling at the Oreo company. I didn't yell. I just sent an email.
Oh,
yeah. I'm not a fan of that.
And also, pretty fucking weak shit. Oreo caramel apple is not a Thanksgiving food.
Agreed. That's like
Halloween.
That's like a Halloween or like a fall festival, but yeah. Not Thanksgiving.
All right.
I also noticed my bites have gotten smaller as we've gone. Honestly, pretty good.
Yeah. Compared to the other ones, it's great.
That might be the best one. glad we saved the best for last.
I hate you. What have you done to me?
You're gonna wake up in the middle of the night, like years from now, and you're gonna have the taste of creamed corn and turkey and stuffing Oreos on your tongue.
No.
You're gonna be wondering where it came from.
No. 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 Thanks. That's probably the last thing I'm gonna remember on my deathbed. Like, oh Jesus. At least now the suffering is over and I'll never have to have another creamed corn or turkey and stuffing Oreo.
It's fucking awful. Listeners, if for whatever reason you saw this advertised and you were thinking about buying one, don't.
Don't. Do not. I repeat, do not buy this. Do not eat it. You know what? No sane person should be in possession of this product.
Yeah, that's why I bought it.
Yes, that's why Jay bought it. He's probably the only sale. That's why they thought it was a mistake, and then when he called customer service, they're like, oh shit, this guy actually wants this thing.
I didn't, in retrospect, the lady on customer service who was like, do you still want it? Like, maybe she had a point.
Yeah. Again.
We can give you your money back.
He's trying to save him again. All right, we won't deliver it. There's no way, because he doesn't know how bad it is. We'll just not deliver it. Oh, shit, he's calling about it. Well, tell him he can have his money back. No, he still wants it. I guess.
Oh, my God. There's a little thing. Tried it, loved it, not sure yet. Those are the only options. Tell us what you think. It'll only take a minute.
Diabolical and convincing me that the Oreo company is run by Satan.
All right, I'm gonna take the survey real fast. We're gonna do it live on the air. All right. Which flavor surprised you the most?
Turkey and stuffing. I didn't know it could be that bad.
How did this concept make you feel about the brand?
Terrible.
More adventurous, more fun. More modern. I don't know what that means.
Bad.
Too gimmicky. No change.
There's not an option for terrible. My opinion has gone down.
I think too gimmicky.
Yeah. All right. Too gimmicky.
Did you enjoy the opportunity to try some peculiar fudge flavors?
No. No, I did not.
Would you rather have it enjoyed more traditional Oreo flavors?
Yes.
How did you try the Oreo Thanksgiving dinner tin? I purchased it for myself or my family. I received this as a gift. Someone shared it with me at an event.
Yeah, someone shared it with me at an event. This is me, Oreo.
These are Jeff's. Yeah, this is Jeff's review. Would you purchase a similar product with unconventional fudge flavors again?
Absolutely not. If they can't even do creamed corn, I don't even want to think about what they're going to do with other flavors.
Do you have any suggestions for fudge flavors you'd like to see Oreo try in the future?
None. Close the company. No.
Bubble gum.
You know what? Yeah, let's do some ridiculous ones.
All right.
Ham.
Ham.
Yeah, we'll need ham. I have my ham gums all bones.
Bubble gum.
Bubble gum.
Ham gum. Bubble ham.
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's get all the Thanksgiving in there. Pickle wraps.
I put fravy.
Yeah.
Fravy. They know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, what other staples do we have? Deviled egg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Deviled egg flavor.
Yeah.
What's the pickled eggs?
Yeah. Why not?
Spider egg.
What was that other, what's that thing? Durian.
Durian, yeah. Blue cheese.
Yeah. Oh, ranch. We gotta do ranch. Absolutely diabolical based on how they've done these. Wagyu beef.
I mean, the turkey and stomach tastes like rotted beef.
Yeah. Can't imagine what they would do if they were going for beef. Probably tastes like roadkill.
deer jerky.
Yeah, I was gonna say raccoon. Squirrel.
Broccoli.
Getting into Appalachia now.
Is there anything else truly disgusting we can think of?
Cousin flavored.
Apparently, I don't know how to spell broccoli. All right, there we go. There's two C's, apparently.
What other disgusting things could they make?
Candy corn.
Yeah. I was going to say, these weren't even disgusting foods, and they managed to make them disgusting, so I can't imagine what they're going to do with things that are actually bad.
Pepper jack cheese. True, they should do a whole cheese flavor.
Oh, yeah.
We should get pepper jack, we should get cheddar, Gouda, we should get Swiss, blue.
Munster. Got all kinds. Yeah, you should suggest that. An Oreo cheese tin. All different cheese flavored Oreos.
I don't know. All right, I think we're good. I think we've got a nice collection here.
ATM flavored.
Oh, what if we put something really weird like the taste on your lips after your first kiss?
Yes.
They're going to like read this and they're not going to know if we were serious or not.
Scarlett Johansson and Marriage Story. But only after she's made out with Adam Driver. We need both flavors mixed.
We need an Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson flavored Oreo.
Half and half. Top and bottom.
Well, yeah, one cookie's the Adam Driver and one cookie's the Scarlett Johansson. And the stuff is where they meet.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff, do you want a 15% off coupon for Oreos?
Oh, yeah, because I got to order the Christmas tin.
As a thank you for sharing, please accept this 15% off discount code for your next Oreoid purchase. I think it's Oreo ID, but I like to pronounce it Oreoid.
Yeah,
I like thanks for sharing 15. Valid through December 31st, 2020. Hey, listeners, if you want to order weird Oreo shit, thanks for sharing 15 from Oreo. It'll get you 15% off. Maybe I'll cut that out.
I don't. Does it matter? If you order this, you are a fool. We've warned you.
Well, if you want to save us from ever doing something like that again,
oh god,
send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places, at horror4holidays. That is horror, the number 4 holidays.
Spencer, please send us an email. I'm dying.
Podcatcher of choice, 5 stars. Write 0 stars if I could. Leave a review. Make sure you subscribe. Hit 5 stars. All that good shit.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments. You know the thing. Do the things.
I'm going to get a drink of water because I can still taste.
I still taste disgusting the turkey Oreo. I taste the turkey stuffing. I taste the corn. I taste the caramel apple, which is a little bit of a help, but.
It tastes like after your dog has had wet dog food, it tastes like their shit smells like.
Yeah, or when they lick your face after they've ate it. Yep. It's too soon. You can smell their mouth.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're like, get back, you asshole. That's what we're eating.
We're probably going to be kicked off the Christmas Podcast Network after what just happened.
I mean, Christmas, Jerry D, if you're listening, save yourself. This would be the kind of thing he would try. Don't do it.
But yeah, go check them out. Like I said, we probably won't be allowed on after this, but if by grace of God we are, Christmas Podcast Network, check them out. Totally Rad Christmas, Holly Jolly Xmas Sue, all sorts of stuff. Merry Britmas, all sorts of great podcasts to check out. Weird Christmas. I think it's still technically a part of it. Anyway.
Donate to the Dead Format Indiegogo campaign. Mike's in the home stretch. Movie's looking good. They need a little bit more to help go over the hump. Yeah, be done.
Two producing fellows managed to get a sneak peek of what the villain in Dead Format looks like. Gang, it looks pretty cool.
It looks good. I'm very excited to see this.
Yep.
And, of course, he deserves your support. He's great. I mean, we did White Doomsday. It was one of our first movies.
Also, we he learned that there is a video game coming out also called Dead Format, which has nothing to do with this movie.
I love that when there's one of the unintentional tie-in.
Yep.
And you know what? We should package up these Oreos and send them to Mike so he could try them and see what he thinks of them.
Send half of them to Mike. Yep. Send the other half to Matt. Have them do voice memos writing.
I'm afraid Matt might die.
Why'd you guys send us half-eaten Oreos?
I don't know if Matt could take the cream corn turkey stuffing combination.
Anyway, we'll see. Maybe we'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer.
I don't know. I don't know if I can continue.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.